Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 18th of August, 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Alec Prale brought us a message about why do we sing? The reading is Psalm 57. We'll hear the reading and then Alec will start the sermon.
As we come to your word, can we stand as we read God's word? I'm going to read Psalm 57, which will be on the screen. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. Selah. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp words. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. Amen. And as Alec comes, I'm just going to pray for Alec. Thank you for our brother Alec. Thank you for his ministry, Lord, for his love for you. And I just pray that you will anoint his tongue, Lord, and you will anoint our minds and hearts to receive your message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Am I on? I'm on, good. When I bring this message this morning, some of you will be thinking, I heard that 3 weeks ago on Radio 4. I am pinching a message from Radio 4. It won't be the same message, but it's just the basic idea. I was thinking the other day, how many sermons have I preached? I was a full-time minister for over 20 years. And how many Bible studies have I taught? How many sermons have I listened to? How many Bible studies have I listened to? And I thought, if I add together all of those I've ever preached and taught with all those I've ever listened to, I know that without a shadow of doubt it would come to over 6,000. And some of you are to stop and think, I always went to church twice on a Sunday, always went to something in the midweek, used to go away to conferences when you'd get three a day. So it could well be something like 7,000 or 8,000 I may have heard, but certainly more than 6,000, either heard or preached. So how often do I hear something I haven't heard before? Just occasionally, within something, there'll be something I haven't heard before, and of course occasionally when I'm preaching, there'll be something I haven't seen that before. Isn't it wonderful? God's word, I don't care how many times you've read it, and I try and read it every year, it's always something you can find. But also, often, you hear the same thing over and over again. And thank God, because we need to. We just need to keep hearing. But anyway, the point I'm making was that I heard something the other Sunday morning on Radio 4, and I thought, I have never, ever heard a message like that before. I've never heard anyone preach on that subject before. Now, how can I have 6,000 or 7,000 messages never have ever heard? But I haven't. And I thought, well, I really felt that it was just something I could bring and share with the church. Not word for word, because I didn't In fact, I wasn't even concentrating entirely, getting ready for church. But, and it was, why do we spend so much time singing? Well, why? I reckon a third of our time in church is spent singing. When I was first a Christian, when I first went to church, I went to a Baptist church. And the Baptist church, it was hymn sandwiches. You always used to have hymn sandwiches, the older ones. You have a hymn, and then you have a prayer, and then you have a hymn, and then you have a Bible reading, and then you have a hymn, and you have notices and stuff, and then you have a hymn. But there were always five hymns, and they varied between 3 and 6 verses. The service only took about 1 hour and 10 minutes, so we spent at least a third of the time singing. And I reckon here, often we probably spend a third of the time singing. Why? Well, that's because of what we do, isn't it? I mean, that's what you do when you go to church, you sing. Now, I wonder how often we give thought to why we sing, and how often we're giving careful thought to what we sing. How many of you would admit, like me, there are sometimes you've sung a song and your mind's been somewhere else? You know, it's quite possible to sing and your mind's not on what you're singing. If we were to sing carefully, there would be times when there might be a few words we wouldn't sing, because they don't actually apply to me, or they're not true in my life, or I can't honestly say that. But I think sometimes we just do it. So I want to have a little look at Scripture and what's Scripture got to say about singing and about music. I'm sure our worship leaders give far more thought to this than the rest of us, but why do we sing and what do we sing? Just a quick mention of musical instruments. Mark mentioned Psalm 150. Praise him with the trumpet, psaltery and harp. That's the wind instruments, the stringed instruments, and then it goes on to the cymbals, that's the percussion instruments. Again, I say, I used to go to a Baptist church with the old-fashioned organ, and there used to have to be somebody standing beside the organ, pumping the organ, so the organ kept going. And I can remember the first time the ministers had two brothers-in-law that were a lot younger, and they came in on a Sunday night and were given a spot, and they played guitars. And there were some quite audible tuts. Tut, tut, tut. One particular lady, she could tut for England. She did both before and afterwards. But then it became quite a common thing. And if you look in the Scripture, there's all kinds of instruments are used. And even when it talks about the harp, if you go to a concert where there's a harp, it's a great big thing on a stage. Folks, David didn't carry one of those around with him. The instruments are different. The instruments are, and I think any instrument can be used. The most moving instruments I find in helping and encouraging spiritually are the violin. I love it. But I have been greatly blessed on a few occasions by the mouth organ. Somebody who can really play well on the mouth organ can really move you spiritually. Some of you would know of Paul Jones, Manfred Mann. You know Manfred Mann? Manfred Mann's a Christian. And he came to the Isle of Man when I was on the Isle of Man as a pastor. We had him over there, did a Christian concert for us. And he played his mouth organ, just played a solo. And the song he played was that old song that many of you know, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got I wish we'd all been ready. And if you knew the words, as he played that mouth organ, you almost felt like crying for the lost as he played that mouth organ. So folks, don't worry about instruments. Oh, I think we should have the organ. Oh, I like the piano. God uses all kinds of instruments. But what do we sing? Well, I think the first incident of what I would call congregational singing was Moses led the singing. They'd come out of Egypt. And then Miriam got involved with the tambourine. And I love tambourines, provided they're played in time. Again, I've been in churches where there'd be old ladies who would insist on playing the tambourine and having a clue. But this was the first singing that we know of, as it were, the people of God were singing. Why were the people of God singing? They had come out of slavery. Why do the people of God sing? What's the best reason you and I have got to sing? My Bible tells me that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's you, that's me, that's what we were. But it goes on to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you have no other reason for singing, folks, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you have been set free from the power and the bondage of sin. And if that doesn't make you want to sing, what does? In fact, if you don't ever feel like singing, I would suggest you've lost the joy of your salvation. The joy of your salvation would cause you to sing. It is so wonderful. I've been set free. The children of Israel were singing. Little aside here, one little girl said to her, "Mummy, all about the children of Israel, what happened to the grown-ups?" Don't we always talk about the children of Israel? Well, what happened to the grown-ups? No, it was the whole group. But they were singing because they were free. And there is a song, "I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow when I know he watches me." But you know, the songbook of the people of the Old Testament became the book of Psalms. And when you read the book of Psalms, you realise that the songs that they sang varied a great deal. There were times when the people of God, they sang what we would call happy clappy songs. And I'm all for happy clappy songs, because I like being happy. And if I'm happy enough to be a bit clappy, then all the better. But at times, folks, they sang the blues. Because they were honest. And they were quite willing to put how they felt into song. And I want to just look at one or two psalms. Mark said 20 minutes, but I should be longer than that. In Psalm 42, the psalmist is writing this, and it says it's for the director of music. In other words, I want people to sing this song. And in the song, he says, Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. It might be helpful if some of you had your Bibles or you got your phones out and found them, but fast 5 and 6. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you." Doesn't sound the sort of song I want to sing very often. "Why are you sound downcast, O my soul?" But even in songs, you know, we can express how we feel. We can express before God, and maybe they're not the kind of songs that we sing very often together as a church. But sometimes it's good to know those kind of songs, and those kind of songs come to our mind. I think it's important that we listen to other music as well. I remember a time many years ago, before I went in the ministry, I was working for the Forestry Commission. And it was very, very hard physical work, because it was piecework, and if you didn't do a lot, you didn't get paid a lot. And I'd been off with the flu, and I went back to work a bit early, because I'd got a wife and two children, and basic wages was not a lot. And I was just drooping. And I found myself singing and listening to, again and again, an old record by Mahalia Jackson. Anyone heard of Mahalia Jackson? Yes, there's a few. "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for my heavenly home? For Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me." And that song used to encourage me. Folks, songs. I think it's good to listen to Christian songs. I don't just encourage you to come and sing in church. What do you listen to at home? I used to listen to a lot of pop music. In fact, I really liked the 60s. I really like a lot of country and western music, and I like a lot of what's called bluegrass music. I've got a bit of a bluegrass fan there. But I found myself listening to this stuff a lot, and a song would get on my brain. And I'd go through the day, and these jolly words would keep going through my brain. I don't listen to that sort of stuff anymore. I'm not condemning anybody else, you know, for listening. But listen to Christian music. Start the day with a bit of Christian music. Get it into your minds. But they were real. The Psalms were real. Some of the Psalms were prayer. Psalm 38 is a song of prayer. It's all about prayer. It starts off, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath." Psalm 38 ends up, "O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Saviour." It's a prayer. And it's good we sometimes sing songs which are, they're not worship, they're prayer. We come before God and we sing. And we tell God what we want and we tell God of our needs in our songs. And I'm just trying to encourage you this morning, think carefully of what you're singing. Think about it and use songs. As I say, some are exuberant praise. Psalm 47. Anyone know how Psalm 47 starts? "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." That's the start of Psalm 47. That's the sort of song which, again, it just lifts and encourages. Towards the end of his life, Moses was given words of prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. And some of those words of prophecy, we needn't look it up, but in Deuteronomy 31, verses 19 and 22, he was told to put those words of prophecy into song. In other words, these words would be spoken, but the people would remember them. Why would they remember them? Because they would sing them. When I went to Sunday school 70 years ago, often we had a memory verse. Any of you remember back to memory verse? And if you learnt the memory verse, you got a sweetie. Or you might have got a stamp in your little stamp book. You got a little reward for remembering the memory verse. I got my sweeties, I got my stamps, whatever it was going, nearly always. Because it was at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and I'd have a little sort of think about it about 2:45, so that I could say the memory verse. But if you asked me a week later what that memory verse was, I wouldn't have a clue. The reality was, some of it did sink in over the years. Of course, some of it sunk in. But I can't remember a lot of those memory verses. But I can still remember "wide, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above." The kids that I've been involved with, they can still remember, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty." Often what we sing sticks in our minds. And folks, a lot of what we sing is scripture. And a lot of the theology which gets deep into our hearts, it helps if we're singing good theology. Of course you learn from the Bible. But if what we sing is true to the Bible, it helps us to just... It gets scriptural truth embedded in us. And I think one of the reasons we come together in church and sing is not just about worship, but it's helping scriptural truth to get embedded into us. When we sing about the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, the wonder of God, we talk about the future, and sometimes we sing songs about heaven and songs about eternity. It gets ingrained into us and makes a whole load of difference to us. In the psalm that we read together, Psalm 57, in verse 9, no, sorry, not verse 9, got the wrong, yes, it's verse 9. The psalmist writes this song, "I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing and make music. I'll praise you. In other words, I think what he's saying is, I will sing praises to you, but I will also sing it as a witness. I'm not just singing it to you, Lord. I want other people to hear what I'm singing. And I think there have been times, and I know there have been times, when people who are not Christians have come into church and they have been spoken to, not so much by the sermon, as by the singing. And if you, many of you will remember the big evangelistic crusades, the Billy Graham crusades, and there were loads of other people, and they nearly always had soloists. What was the point of the soloists? They sang songs which may have been worshipping God, but they were songs of witness, songs of making a difference in people's lives. And folks, we sing. If I would have asked you all this morning, why do we sing? You'd have all said to worship the Lord. And that would have been true. But folks, we don't just sing to worship the Lord. We sing as a witness. In fact, there may be people who have come in this morning feeling very, very down. And as you sing maybe something about the joy of the Lord, it's a witness to them. It influences them. It makes a lot of difference to them. But then, of course, you turn to the New Testament, and the New Testament doesn't have as much to say about singing. Not as much. But we do know they sang. We know that Jesus and the disciples sang before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It would have been one of the Psalms that they sang. We know that they sang. We know that Paul and Silas sang at midnight when they were in prison. They sang at midnight while they were in prison. Why did they sing when they were in prison? They were singing praises to God. But folks, I don't think they were just doing it for God's benefit. Don't you think they were doing it for their own benefit? Don't you think it would have built them up to have been singing praises to God? But didn't all the other prisoners hear them? What a witness. What a witness. Praising God when they're in the midst of the jail fastened. What a witness. They weren't just singing to God. They were singing for their own benefit. Sometimes if you feel a bit down, it does you good to sing. But they were singing for the... What a witness to other people. And in Corinthians, talks about, Paul says, I will sing with my spirit, I'll sing with my mind. In Colossians and Ephesians, it talks about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What does that mean? Psalms, does it mean literally we should sing word for word the psalms? Hymns, does it mean we should sing those that have got, you know, five verses and a chorus? Spiritual songs, does that mean we must sing the modern ones? All I think it means is there should be variety. There should be variety. I think we're finishing with an old hymn this morning, and by request from me, our musicians are going to be singing to us an old hymn this morning. But it should be variety. We don't just get stuck with one kind of song and one kind of music. And it's good when we have some of us who come to church at four once a month. We nearly always just use the old hymns then. Well, great. There's some great old hymns. There's not a hymn book that hasn't got great hymns in it. And I don't think there's a hymn book been written yet that hasn't got a few bits of rubbish in it. And it's the same with every... Whatever comes out, it's always the same. But I want to just sort of come to the point now of thinking about... I hope I'm not being too long. But in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about singing. Where are we? Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Did you take notice of that? To one another and... to the Lord. In fact, the Authorised Version actually says, speak to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It actually says yourselves. Or in other words, what I think this is saying is, in our singing, I'm singing for the Lord. I'm singing for you, and I'm singing for me. Singing is meant to be uplifting. And I'm not telling you that's something you don't already do, but I'm just trying to encourage you to think more about it. When we sing, we should be very conscious of the people around us. There's one particular church that Susan and I used to go to, and we found it so loud that you had no concept whatsoever that the person to your right and the person to your left and the person behind you was singing. All you heard was what was coming out of the loudspeakers. You only heard the singers from the front. And I think that's losing something spiritually. The fact that we're singing together, the fact that, you know, the two or three people around me, I hear their voice. And as long as it's not too dominant, they should be glad to hear my voice. Not if it's too dominant, they wouldn't. But you see, we sing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We don't just come in to sing for the Lord. We come in to sing for our own sake. We come to sing for each other's sake. And it's interesting because it says, do not get drunk on new wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you know the effect that getting drunk has on some people? It causes them to sing. It causes them to sing. And the things that they sing are often not very wholesome. But that's the effect that alcohol has on a lot of people. Have a bit too much alcohol and they'll start to sing. And the singing is not in tune. And the words are not a wholesome. But it draws a parallel here. In the same way that getting a bit too much alcohol in you might cause you to sing, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself, speaking to one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's another aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit within us, encouraging us to sing. I said at the beginning, if you don't feel like singing this morning, perhaps you've lost the joy of your salvation. But if you don't feel like singing this morning, perhaps you need to come to the Lord again and say, Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit. Restore to me that sense of inward moving of your Spirit that causes me to sing. We sing to one another. We sing for our own benefit. We sing to the Lord. We sing carefully, prayerfully what we sing. So, summing up. Let us sing to worship the Lord. Let us sing to get good spiritual truth embedded into our hearts and minds. Let's sing to encourage and build each other up. Let's sing to do our own souls good. Let's sing to be a witness for our Lord. Let's sing sometimes to express our heart's desire. And let's sing to celebrate our salvation. If the people of God can't sing, well, what have we got? You know, singing just is such an expression. Joy is an expression of the outpouring of our emotions. I think it's so important that we sing. But when we get to Revelation, you find a different sort of singing there, because it's all directed at the Lord. When I get to heaven, I shan't need to sing for my own benefit. I shan't need to sing for your benefit. Roy and Jenny and the rest of them, they won't need to sing for your benefit when we get to heaven, because we should be in that glorious place. But the day is coming when our songs will be entirely, utterly worship. In the meantime, let's think about why we sing. Let's put real heart, soul into our singing. Lord, we want to sing for you. Lord, we want to build one another up in our songs. Lord, I want to do myself good with singing. Lord, I want to be a witness in my songs. I've asked Roy and the group to come and sing a song for us this morning. It's a song that they didn't know and a song I've only heard recently. Although it's a song actually that comes from the 19th century. But the chorus goes, I think I've got the words exactly right. No fears can rest. No storms can shake my inmost calm as to this rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Listen, and if once the chorus gets going, you might even feel like joining it.
My life flows on in endless song above.
But listening to the word and listening to the singing of God's praises, listening to songs that uplift and build us, let me encourage you this morning to be listeners of that which does your soul good, that which blesses you, heart, mind, body, soul. Listen. And also, I just want us to think about, we're going to sing to end this morning, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Think about that for a minute. Is there anybody here this morning who doesn't really yet know for certainty that Christ died for them? This morning may be a time for someone to say, yes, Lord, I'll accept. I accept your gift of forgiveness. I come to you asking for mercy and asking for your forgiveness, believing indeed Jesus died for me.
Thank you.
Maybe this morning there'll be somebody who needs to come and ask for prayer. Maybe there are those this morning who don't have the certainty of their salvation, can't sing with real certainty the wondrous story of Christ who died for them.
Hmm.
Well, let's this morning rejoice in the wonder. Folks, it is a wondrous story. The story of God's Son coming to earth, not just to teach, not just to heal. No, he did those things, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me, that was you. And he did it through his death. And he conquered death for us. This morning, if you're not sure, if you're not certain of your own salvation, please, there'll be somebody you can talk to and pray with, or Paul, the pastor, or myself, others who would help you this morning. But let's rejoice in the goodness of our God. And before we sing, let's just maybe turn around to each other and just say, God bless you. God bless you.
Yes.
Just turn around. Bless one another.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And you. Bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. And let's finish with a good sing.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.